Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So we're continuing our series, Ordinary People, Extraordinary God. This is week five, and I just want to really drive this into our minds and our hearts that Jesus calls ordinary people, that Jesus is not calling extraordinary, perfect people. He's extraordinary. He does the work in us. He's calling for us just to admit, yes, we're broken. Yes, we're imperfect. Yes, we have wild thoughts that don't align with your word. And yet you call us. Our call is not just about what we do as believers and followers, but rather who we become in Jesus as we follow. Today I'd like to read from Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. This is where Jesus calls his first disciples. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men, and they followed him. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you for your teachings. We thank you for your creation. We thank you for your patience with mankind. But most of all, this morning, we thank you for your call on our lives. That you've literally chosen us this morning to come and sit in this room. Holy Spirit, to fill us. That we might accomplish the extraordinary in this broken place. So I ask this morning, would you bring your light? Would you shine on us, God? Would you fill our cups? We so desire to share with those that have not received what we so freely receive from you. We want to share it. We want to see people experiencing what we've experienced, Lord God. This thing that is so much better than pizza and Cold Stone. This thing that is so much better than relationships with people. It's so much better than a new car, Lord God. It's so much better than a bank account that's filled with money, endless money. It's so much better than all of this. And we just want to share it. So would you speak to us this morning and fill us and give us the courage to go out and share your good news. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God has always called ordinary people. This is nothing new. I know I often think that as I'm seeking God's face and he's revealing things to me in his word, I'm feeling like this is the first time anyone's heard this and I can't wait to share it, you know, but it's not the case. God's been up to this for quite a few years. But he always calls ordinary people. What we just read, it says Jesus called fishermen, Simon and Andrew, to follow him. And the interesting thing about this is there's no title on that. Did you notice there was no CEO fisherman? No prestige. They weren't, you know, PhD Andrew and just ordinary workers. I love how Moses was a shepherd tending flocks when God called him in Exodus 3. Working in the field, God called him. David, a forgotten shepherd, shepherd boy, chosen as king in 1 Samuel 16. And Amos, a farmer, called to be a prophet in Amos 7. Just ordinary people called by God. Just people doing life on life's terms, doing the best that they can. God has a history of choosing the overlooked and the unexpected. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that you're part of God's story? Do you believe that someday your story and how you shared Christ with the lost is going to be part of this story? Moses, David, Amos, Matthew, Maria, PJ. We're all part of his story. John 12:26 says, "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me." When we see the cross, we see freedom, forgiveness, love, and redemption. And I want to encourage you guys to look at the cross, like in the morning when you wake up, picture the cross and what he did on that cross. Remember the cross. We know that Jesus died on the cross for us, but that during that time he saw our secrets. He saw our failures and the most embarrassing things about ourselves. The stuff that we don't want anyone to know, that no one's ever going to know. Jesus saw it. And yet, he bought all of that with a price. He paid the price, death, for us. And through that purchase of his blood, we're set free. That we're actually right with God this morning in this room, whether we believe that or not. I am in a position right now where I believe it, and I believe it of you. And if you don't believe it, I will cover that for you right now. I will believe it for you until you believe it. But there's things that you've done in your life that you're carrying around this morning that I want to say don't need to be carried around anymore. There's thoughts in your mind that when you look in the mirror don't need to be thought anymore. Those things that you've been saying to yourself don't need to be said any longer. They're lies. God thinks you're beautiful. God thinks I'm handsome. He likes every little imperfect part about me. And it reminds me, he says, I'm actually the one that made that. I wanted your this and that. Now that we know that we're forgiving, we can hear the voice, follow me. Because I believe it's not until we really embrace this concept of being forgiven that we can truly say, I hear your voice and I want to follow you. I want to share you. He's saying, live for me. I want you to live for me. I know you work at, but you're actually working for me. I know you're just going for a walk, but you're actually going a walk with me. And we're going to go do something. We're going to go meet somebody that I'm going to have there, and we're going to love on them. He's saying, I want you to lose yourself in me. Like so camouflaged in the life of Jesus that we become unrecognizable. I have family members that don't even know me. They know the old me. Because I'm so given my life to Jesus that I'm not even the same guy any longer. Greater is he living inside of me now than he who is in the world. And I was in the world, let me tell you, just like I'm sure you were. God is calling the ordinary to work for the extraordinary through the faith in the one who died. Sometimes I have this thought, like, I don't know what to do. I'm out of gas. I feel like I'm tired. I worked all day. I'm this and that. And it's this pause. It's this moment of, no, Lord, I have faith. And it's this posture of faith that suddenly our tank is filled and we can go to that next thing, that next meeting, that Bible study, that connect group, that thing where we're out of gas, where the enemy's telling you, you don't have any more strength, you need to rest. And yes, we need to rest, but there's there's a fine line where it's, do we really need rest, or do we need to do what the Lord's asking us to do when he says, follow me? And it's in the following sometimes where I'm getting more rest than I'm actually getting in the night of sleep. I'm getting a supernatural rest that nobody understands. How are you doing all that? I have no idea. He's providing. I like this quote by pastor, author Peter Scazzaro. He says, the critical issue on the journey with God is not, am I happy? But rather, am I free? I feel like my neighbors in my, where we live, I know a handful of them that aren't, don't have a relationship with God. And I would say that their main goal each day is, am I happy? What do I need to be happy? My day is going to be determined, like, what I do is going to bring me happiness or not. Who I surround myself is going to bring happiness or not. And we carry that baggage because we learned it out there from our neighbors, from our schoolmates, from our coworkers, from our family. We bring that stuff inside the church. And it's all good. Except for, I believe that when we enter the church and the Holy Spirit starts talking to us, we hear things like this. It's no longer, am I happy? What do I need? Is it, am I free? Have I been set free? Am I a new creation in you, Christ? And now, when the reality kicks in, that it's like, yes, I believe this in my heart, that I have been set free. Now it's no longer, I don't care if I'm happy. I've been noticing that there's things going on around me that typically would make me extremely unhappy. And I've been more at peace than ever before. Makes no sense. Should not be experiencing peace in this season of trial and uncomfortableness. That's the wrong word. I went for it. God has always taken the ordinary people that are held captive by this world and its delusions, and he set them free to serve him, to bring heaven down to collide with the plans of the dark forces of this world. Literally, God wants to use us for a collision course. He wants to take heaven and have it collide with the forces of evil, this spiritual battle that we're in, this side of heaven. God's call transforms ordinary into extraordinary. Transformed, I love that word. You guys, when I was a little kid, Transformers were pretty cool. Transformers were so much better than they are now. I feel like they had metal components to them. Okay, I can compare it to like an old car. An older car was real metal. Like these things were tanks versus now, these things that just squish and you kind of look at them in the parking lot and they dent really easy. Anyways, my point is that God transforms us from being ordinary broken to doing extraordinary stuff. This morning we read Jesus, he says, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. Notice that he transformed their vocation into a mission. Gideon was hiding in fear, yet God called him a mighty warrior in Judges 6. And Elisha, plowing in the field until Elijah called him to be a prophet in 1 Kings. See, when God calls, he changes ordinary tasks into kingdom purposes. He does not erase your identity. He repurposes it. He doesn't have to get us out of the way, us broken, filthy sinners, to do his work. He takes us, transforms us to do his work. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. Paul shows that life in Christ isn't just improved, it's recreated. What once was ordinary, broken, and sinful is repurposed into something new. Pastor Allison has mentioned sometimes, like, it would be cool. It was when we had the boys, really. We're still living at home. It would be cool if you got a kind of a classic car and you guys restored it, right? There's always this idea of a father-son kind of picture restoring these things. But where do we get that idea from, you think? I believe that it comes straight from heaven. That we actually have turned it into something about an object, and then we worship the car once we fix it, right? And we have this 69 Nova that's scooting around the neighborhood real fast, and it looks real clean, and we're real proud, and we start worshiping these things. And it's actually the enemy that's made this thing real crafty, because it's a great idea for a father, son to bond around a car and do this. But the real design is for the father and the son to come and worship their heavenly father together and be restored by the hand of God, restoring our relationship to him, reconciling ourselves, a father teaching his son how to reconcile himself to God for his brokenness. That's a father-son project worthy of talking about, worthy of scooting around the neighborhood, I think. When we see an empty grave, we know that we too can defeat our own death and sin through our faith in the one who rose from the grave. When we're having a tough day and we're feeling down, I think our strength comes from when we pause and picture Jesus literally defeating death, rising from the grave. And in that moment, when we're at our lowest point, if Jesus did it and we know he did it for us, we need to rise up and call ourselves blessed. Not that everything's going to get perfect for the rest of the day, but as Christians, we're called to meditate on such things, even in the dark time. If we hold on to a thought like that, it literally can get us to the bed and the pillow that evening and cause us to fall asleep and wake up to new mercies. When I think of the empty grave, the doubts and the fear start to wane, and the voice of the enemy starts to dissipate. Because the enemy doesn't want to be around me that's thinking about Jesus and his blood and the victory on the cross and the grave that he rose from and the fact that he's ascended and sitting at the right hand of the Father. He doesn't want to listen to that. So he flees. Tim Keller says, the resurrection was not a suspension of nature. It was the beginning of the renewal of nature. In Jesus rising, God inaugurated new creation, and we are called to live out that new life now. The extraordinary comes through surrender. I think somebody needs to hear this morning, maybe more so than anything else I've said. The disciples, they left their nets at once and followed him. Surrender unlocked their extraordinary future. How much easier would it just to be for them to have just remained at their job that moment that Jesus called them? Like, dude, I'm not, you know. I can't tell you how many times somebody came to the house to give me the word of God or whatever, and I was like, thanks, but no thanks. Peace. Have a nice day. But when we actually listen and receive it, it's a surrender to the King. Abraham left his home and everything familiar, and God made him the father of nations. Surrender. His surrender changed everything for us. Isaiah responded, "Here I am. Send me." It became God's mouthpiece. The power wasn't in the nets. The power wasn't in the fields. And the power wasn't in the thrones. It was in the yes to God. How easy is that? We don't have power. We don't have grand ideas. We don't have much. Except for we have so much in the surrender to Jesus Christ that will lead us. Philippians 3, 7 and 8 says, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things." Saying yes meant leaving behind status, achievement, and identity to embrace Christ. Are you guys with me on this? I feel like there's a mandate on our lives. A mandate this morning. The Holy Spirit is reminding us. We need to leave what we think that is important to us. All the things that we've got going on. All the titles that we're trying to achieve or the things that we're trying to get. It's nothing. I'm not trying to say, if God's calling you to something, be obedient to that. And if I just mention that thing, I'm sorry. All I'm saying is that when we lose ourselves, we find ourselves. God's plan for us is held in His hand, not in our minds. His will for us is to proclaim the victory of Jesus to those that have not heard the good news. When's the last time we woke up and we're like, you know what, I'm going to go grab a cup of coffee. I don't need a Danish, but I'm going to grab a Danish. And I'm going to go and I'm going to pray and ask God to lead me to someone that's never heard about Jesus. That's what I'm going to do today. Typically, it would be the sun's out. I might go to the beach and sunbathe. You see my point? And we're all the same. We're all wired by the world, by TV, by social media, etc. God, this morning, is trying to rewire the way we think. To lose ourselves and think about others first. Bill Johnson says, "Extraordinary life is not found in striving. It is discovered in surrender." Someone says, How are you doing? How's your life going? You ever think, like, you want to just say, my life is extraordinary good right now. My life has never been better. My guess is you haven't said that. Maybe you've said it before, after a new purchase, or something new happened, and it was short-lived. But when you really say it, like, it's never been better. I don't know what's going on, but my life is amazing. And I want to say, if you get to that point, it's going to be because you've lost yourself in Jesus and you're putting others first. It's when you've decided to not focus on your bank account and you share. It's going to be when you have room in your house and you open the door. It's going to be when you had something to do on Friday night and plans changed because someone needed you. Just picture this. Jesus died for you. Is it not our call to die for others? like not to bleed out and die and go to heaven, but to like deny your life and all the things that you think you need and want, to just deny it and live for those that God has put in your life. All right, I'm going to close with a couple of thoughts. I want to remind you that Jesus still calls ordinary people. Do you receive that this morning? Yeah. That Jesus is calling you? Can you just say that with me? Jesus is calling me. Mm-hmm. Here's the good news for a guy like me, and I think for people like you, is that your background, your skills, maybe your failures, they do not disqualify you from this call. Here's how the world works. When it's time for a new job, because you just got beat up at the last job, and you go online and you start looking, and you're like, this one looks good. And then you scroll down a little bit, and it says, these are the qualifications. And you're like, oh, snap, I don't, can't do that one, because I don't meet all that. I'm not good enough for that. Jesus says, you are good enough to work for me. You have every qualification that you need to work for me. I will use you. I will speak through you. I will heal you. I will forgive you. I call you redeemed. I call you whole. I call you beautiful. I call you new. The extraordinary is waiting. It's waiting. But it comes and it starts in surrender to your plans for your life. I'm just going to say it like this. Screw the plans that the world has for you. Forget about it. God's plans is so much better. I want to ask you this morning. Where are you holding on to your nets? Fishermen were holding their nets. They were in their life. They were right in the middle of life. What would it look like to drop your nets and to follow Jesus fully today? Not occasionally, not once a month, not twice a month, not on Sundays. What would it look like if you said, yes, I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to follow you. I'm going to forget all the plans that I thought that I have. Like, right, we have it all mapped out all the way into retirement and on. I have it all planned to my death. Everything. I've got it all planned so great. What would it look like to just set that aside and say, no, I don't even care. I want to serve you, God. Who will you become in Him if you made that decision? Who will you become? The answer to that is, you will become extraordinary. That's the mandate today. Follow Him. Say yes to Him. And share with the world when they ask, how are you doing? Extraordinary. Because I'm loved by God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.